Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
I will serve
the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength.
I will love you.
I will love you. With all my mind, with all my strength.
With all my heart,
with all my soul. With all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
You betcha, right.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 70. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, let God be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Please stand. Summer and winter.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning.
Just the ladies.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to clear and to guide. Thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Bob, and the rest of the praise band. Great is thy faithfulness. It's good to see your faithfulness here this morning. And Mom, forgot to say hi to you today, but here I am, and I'm waving to you like I said I would. Now she's going, I hope they can't see me. Well, let's put her up there on the screen. No, we won't do that. Just want to thank the guys that put up the nativity scene out here from the church. Appreciate that very much. That was, you know, Al Holman, he was the one that cracked the whip there, I think. But he got his sons, Craig and Todd, and then Bob Johnson helped put it all up here on Saturday. So I go like, man, it's there. And it's good to do it when it's warm, or a lot more mild than if it's frozen solid. So appreciate what you've done there. Today, following the worship service, if you'd like to help load up the Christmas Operation Christmas Child boxes into Pat and Dale's van, we'd appreciate that. I don't know when they're going to do that. It'd be sometimes after the worship service. I don't know what the count is today, but I know there was 89 last Sunday that was here. I don't know if there's more that came in after that or not. But we appreciate those of you that put those boxes together and that we can send them to wherever they're going to go. They will be a blessing. You can count on that for sure. Just want to let you know that this week there is the Women's Bible Study. I believe is it the last time you're meeting? It's the last time, so if you haven't been a part of it, don't go. No? But if you want to be, you can. But it's the last time they're going to be meeting, and it's the study is called You're Never Alone. I think it's by Max Lucado. And so that is this Tuesday at 9:30, and then they have prayer following with anyone that would like to get together and pray in the library. That's following the ladies' Bible study. There is a church council meeting at 7 o'clock this Tuesday. They kind of come around quite quickly, don't they? Man, second Tuesday of every month we meet. And then Wednesday, we got Joy Kids and Joy Us. And a lot of times the Joy Kids say, are you going to have supper after Joy Kids today? And I told them last Wednesday, I go like, nope, but next Wednesday we do. So that means we got the third Wednesday of the month, which is Wednesday night fellowship at 6 o'clock. There will be something grilled. I'm not sure what it will be, but there's always something grilled brought in. Just bring a side dish for those of you that would like to come be a part of that. And then we have Ron and June Bryan, who will be here and be talking about what they do when they go down to Texas during the winter. They don't just sit on the beach with an umbrella, but they do something with what do you got here? It's some Rio Grande Bible Ministries in South Texas that they're gonna be talking about that. They've done this for a number of years. So they're going to be sharing about that, and I think even got to show some things on the big screen TV as well with that. That's this Wednesday following the supper that starts at 6:30, and then lunch with the bunch is we continue our study on the book of Esther, and I think some of you have gone down to Branson and have seen it in their, what do they call that, life and?
Sight and sound.
Oh, sight and sound. Yeah. Sight and sound. It's awesome. It's amazing. But so is the book. So if you want to be a part of that Bible study, it's open to anyone and everyone. Doesn't matter who comes to that. And that's at from noon to 1 o'clock. We went over a little bit last time. Sorry about that. We went about 10 minutes over, but sometimes that's what happens. So hope to see you then. Also, the last call for membership class, I'm not sure when we're going to have it, but I'm just looking for those that are interested. It doesn't mean you have to become a member of Harbor of Joy, but it's just to come to the class. It just helps to get people together who are interested. You get to know people that you've probably seen. Now you get to know who their names are, or what you can call them. Some of you say, well, I'm so terrible at names. I go, it doesn't matter. Just as long as you get to see people and they see that you're interested. When you see them, you'll know that you're part of the membership class. And you go like, yeah, I think I remember you, or we've been together, and you got something in common here at Harbor of Joy as well. Remember Steve Moore and his family, as his brother Jim did pass away this past week. The funeral was last Friday down in Cedar Rapids, I believe, is where it was. And so our hearts go out to him as they deal with a loss. And there's some of you that have gone through a loss in the last little while as well. And even if it's been for many years, it's still a loss. There's things that you still think about with that. And so we can't forget that as well. There will be no Thanksgiving service on Wednesday because, number one, you're all old. And you know what that means? You don't like to drive at night. Okay, the time has changed. It's darker at night. And two is that some of you are leaving, going to be gone somewhere for Thanksgiving, and or you got family coming to your place, and it just kind of just won't take place this year. So just keep that in mind. But we will have kind of like a Thanksgiving service a week from today. So it'll be expect the unexpected. So I just might have call on Jack Johnson to come up here and tell us what he's thankful for. And then he gets to choose who he would want to call on. So I hope that doesn't mean no one will show up. But we look forward to giving thanks to the Lord together next Sunday. There's other things in the bulletin that are worthwhile you're reading and thinking about, pondering on. Some of these things is an update from Mandy Roger that's in there. Some of you were here when she came back in June of this year. She was our missionary that was in Romania for at least 7-8 years. And now she's got a different assignment, and she writes a little bit about that and just wanted to say hi and give a little update for what she's doing now as she's here in stateside. So keep Via di Cristo in your minds there, as well as Meals on Wheels that's coming up. You'll hear more about that as time goes on. So with that, I just want to have a word of prayer, and then we will move on with our bulletin with a responsive reading that will follow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good to be here this morning. It is a time in a week that we take the time to gather together and to worship you, to hear about Jesus Christ, to be able to shake hands, to be able to visit with people we haven't seen for maybe a whole week, maybe longer. It's a time that we don't take one another for granted, because we never know that who's here today that won't be here next Sunday. And it does happen. And Lord, make our faith strong in light of any kind of opposition that we may be facing. May we be encouraged, and may we be an encourager to someone who is here today. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshments that always follow and the coffee that's on. That gives us that time of just rubbing shoulders and at least be able to say hi to someone who's here, and hopefully goes beyond just saying hi. I hope it goes a little deeper than that. You never know who's here, even though they're smiling, doesn't mean that they're hurting inside for some reason, what's taking place. So don't take the first thing we hear when it says, how are you doing? And they say, okay, I'm doing great. You probably need to say, now tell me how you're really doing. And then they know that you are really asking a question that they can open up and be honest with as well. So Lord, we're here because we need to be here. And we're thankful for those that are watching by Zoom today. And we miss them. We miss them that have left Harbor of Joy and have gone south for the winter. And we pray that we will see them when they come back, or that when they come back, that they'll know that we're here as well. So we pray these things, Lord. Put your hands around all of us that are here, each one of us. There are things that we probably don't even know about that are taking place, or things that are going on in people's lives. We're just thankful that you know what those things are. So prepare our hearts as we just humbly come before you this morning and give you praise and give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our responsive reading, I invite you to stand if you can, comes to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. So it's all scripture that we have here before us. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. It's another way of saying that those who have died. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope.
We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God.
And the dead in Christ will rise first.
After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
And so we will be with the Lord for how long?
Forever.
Therefore,
encourage each other with these words.
You may be seated.
All my intentions, all my obsessions, I want to lay them all down in your hands. Only your love is vital, though I'm not entitled. Still you call me your child. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that leads me to take my arms off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that leads me to open my hands up and give you control. Yeah, I give you control. I've had plans shattered and broken, things I have hoped in fall through my hands. You have plans to redeem and restore me. You're behind and before me. Oh, help me believe. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow it frees me to open my hands up and give you control. You want me. Somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me. Oh, you want me. Somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. World has lost its grip on me. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me.
The King of Heaven wants me.
So this world has lost its grip on me. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that leads me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control. You want me. Somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
You may be seated. You know, if you can take your hands and just open them up, it doesn't mean you have to raise them up high because I know you're Lutherans. But if you can just put them down on your lap and you just open up your hands and say, Lord, I'm yours today. Every day. And it's hard for us sometimes to do that. But there's a lot of truth what that song is talking about. Open up your hands and let the Lord have control. In my office hangs a steering wheel on the wall. It goes back a number of years, over 20-some years. The mechanic who gave me that steering wheel, which I asked for because I thought I can use it in counseling with a lot of times with people, they just say, you have to get your hands off the steering wheel and let Jesus have control. He's the driver. You need to get in the back seat. And just being in the front seat is not, you know, the passenger is not good enough. You got to get in the back seat so that you can depend on Jesus having control of your life and give him that control as well. So, story that happens with that, the guy who gave me the steering wheel caught his wife sleeping with another man, went in and shot both him and her, killed them, and then he committed suicide. And I'm going like, I was supposed to meet with them that night. I didn't know this had happened the night before. So we never know what's going on in people's lives, what's taking place. But God does. So I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning of our sermon, of our text. It comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus is speaking this parable, and it says this: At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your text. Thank you for your word, reminding us that there's something much more important in life than chasing after a lot of different things that crowd you out. May you have control of each one that is here today. May we can honestly say, "Lord, I've given you the steering wheel of my life for you to control." Because we don't know the day or the hour when you will return. May we take close attention, or give close attention to your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many times has Jesus spoken about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? How many times have you heard Jesus speaking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, just in the book of Matthew, just in the Gospel of Matthew? Jesus speaks many times about the kingdom of heaven, what it is like. And I know that many of you have heard it many times, because Matthew talks about it many times, writes about it, what Jesus said about the kingdom of heaven, and he's quoted. Some of the things that Jesus said, he used in parables, and parables are just like another story. A story of being able to get the point, because you don't know where Jesus is going to go with the story, but in the end, you kind of figure out that he's talking about me. And so this morning, as you think of this parable, find out or look for where you are at in this parable that involved the 10 virgins. Because it does pertain to you and to me. Matthew alone, there are many references to the kingdom of heaven. He talks about, remember, the farmer who went out and planted good seed on different kinds of soil. He also has a parable of Jesus talking about a farmer who went out and planted good seed, and then he went and he rested, but as he was resting, someone evil came, one of his enemies came and planted bad seed among the wheat, but he didn't know it until harvest time. And of course, as it was growing, a lot of people were probably telling the farmer, "Hey, you know what, how come you planted all that rotten weeds? What are those weeds doing in your weedy field?" Jesus is quoted as looking at the kingdom of heaven like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed you can find, and yet it grows up to be like a tree where birds can land on the branches. But it starts out very small. How about a some yeast? You mix it well with a large amount of flour. You got to mix the yeast in there so that it will rise. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast. It's a catalyst that makes things grow. It includes more and more people who come to know Jesus by faith. If you're not a baker, if you're not a housewife, if you're not someone who deals with baking bread, I shouldn't say that. Dean does. He's the bread man of the state of Iowa. Okay, of the world. Sorry. But Dean works with yeast. He knows what yeast does to bread. If you're a fisherman, he talks about a net, throwing out a net that catches a lot of fish. But as he brings the net in, you also have to divide out the rough fish from the good fish. And he uses a parable about that. He talks about a pearl of great price. He talks about a king who wanted to sell accounts with his servants. A landowner who hires workers at different times of the day, but he pays all of them the same. And one I think we heard about is a landowner of a vineyard who wanted to make it very productive and had everything done to it. A tower, a fence, a wine press, everything was there, and he rented out his vineyard to some renters, and he sent servants at the harvest time to get some of the fruit that it was his land. And those that were renting it beat up, even killed some of those that came to him. And so the landowner said, okay, I'll just send my son. They definitely will not mistreat him. But they did. They took him outside of the vineyard and killed him. And so the question is, what is that landowner going to do when he comes back and sees these renters and talks to them, knowing that they have killed his son? We could go on and on, but those are some of the things that we find in the book of Matthew. And so today's message deals with 10 young women who took their lamps and waited for the bridegroom. Now, it's a little different than the way things are done here in America. But in the Middle East, you have where really the parents are out there. They find the bride or the groom for their daughter or for their son. It's just kind of a thing that happens. Western culture, it's not that way. So I would tell you then, if you are a young person here today, which there aren't too many, it is always good to be nice to your mom and dad, because they will find you, they want to pick you a good mate. And if they don't like you, look out. They'll have the last say. So when we look at this parable that Jesus gives, it's in connection with what he is addressing with his disciples all the way back in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when they asked him, Lord, when are these things going to happen? What's the end times going to be like? When you come again, what should we look for? And so Jesus is telling them a lot of different things in Matthew 24 and into 25. And so after he gets done with this parable, he says, you do not know the day or the hour, which goes along in verse 36 of the same of chapter 24. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. We don't know. There are times when we do know that death is near. As some of you well know this, some of you I have been with in those times. We don't know when, but it does come. Jesus, when he comes again, we will not know that either, but we are to be ready. And that's really the whole point of this parable. Be ready. The 10 virgins, this parable, Jesus uses to make that point. Now, in the Jesus' day, in his world where he lives, is that the focus is on the bridegroom. In America, in Western culture, it's on the bride. It's just the opposite. You know, everyone kind of goes to a wedding and they kind of can't wait to see the bride come marching down the aisle. Or up front, all the eyes are kind of on her. But here, you have some things here that all the bridesmaids, there's 10 of them, they have a lot in common. All 10 of these ladies have something in common. All of them have a lamp. Every one of them has a lamp. All of them have been waiting for this day to take place. They knew that the wedding was going to take place. They know who the groom is. They know who the bride is. But what's interesting is that in this parable, there's no mention of the bride. Just the bridegroom. And in that day, the bridegroom, he would bring his bride with him, and they would go either to the banquet or to the place where they're going to make their home, where they're going to live. And that's when the people who knew them, who were invited to his wedding or to their wedding, that they would follow them and want to be with them. They knew that it was going to happen at night because they got lamps. In the daytime, you would not have a lamp. There's no reason to light a lamp in the daytime. It would have to be at night. So they knew that the time had come that, okay, he's going to be coming, but it's going to be late, so we better be ready. We'll have lamps. We'll have oil in our lamps. So there's a lot of things that are common with these 10. They're all friends. They all know the bridegroom. They have all received that invitation. And they're all waiting for the bridegroom to come, and he came late, right around midnight. But they got drowsy. They fell asleep. All 10 of them fell asleep until they heard someone say, "Here he comes! The bridegroom is coming!" And that's when the differences began to show up. Only 5 had enough oil. 5 realized they didn't have enough and wanted to borrow from those that had oil and those that said, "No, you got to get your own oil." Now, don't think of those 5 as being stingy or being mean to those 5 who didn't have enough oil. They knew what was needed, and they just didn't take it seriously enough. And when the bride showed up, they realized, uh-oh, not enough oil. And the 10 said, "You go buy your own oil." Now, it's after midnight. Where do you go? You know, there's not anything open 24 hours at this time. Where do you go at night to find oil when you need it for your lamp? You're going to have to wake up. Somebody's going to have to wake up somebody, get them out of bed to get oil and say good luck. They might not even answer the door, or they might just say, "Leave me alone. I'm tired." Well, the bridegroom let 5 of those that had enough oil into the banquet, the wedding banquet, and then the door was closed. Kind of reminds us about when Noah was into the ark. And who closed the door to the ark? God did. Man could not even open it. God closed it when everything was right and ready. Anyone who probably were calling names to Noah and realized that they were going to drown, beating on the side of the ark, the 5 foolish virgins came back and found the door was shut. And they hear these words. I tell you the truth, I don't know you. And because I don't know you, you cannot come in. I don't want anyone here ever to have to hear those words from the Lord. I want Jesus to know who you are. I want you to be able to tell Jesus, well, we had this pastor who did tell us about this at one time. We did hear, but we didn't do anything about it. We were foolish. I don't want to be the kind of pastor that would not tell you the truth, what God's word says. But you can, you know, you heard the saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. It's the same way in the church. You can tell, you can speak, you can promote, you can proclaim what God's word says, but I can't believe it for you. That's something that you have to do with God yourself. So don't think, you know, because grandma prayed for you or grandma was good to you or you were grandma's favorite or mom and dad's favorite type of thing and they had a faith, and you know, it doesn't get passed on to you like that. It still has to be a personal thing between you and God. That he's got control of you. Five wise bridesmaids and five foolish. Again, the question is, which one are you? Which group do you belong to? Are you wise? Or are you foolish? The point is very simple, it's very clear. But that's what Jesus is asking by using this parable. Be ready. Be ready. We don't know the time. And we don't know the hour, but be ready. We're ready when we know we have Jesus as our Savior, personal Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may our lamps be full of oil. Knowing that no matter what time you come, we know that we love you, we have you as our Savior, we have nothing to fear, but we look forward to that day when you come. Just as those who have died before will be raised first, and then we will be, if we're left alive, we will be caught up in the air with them. Only those who are ready will be caught up. Only those who are ready will come out and be risen. So today is a pretty special day, very important day, to hear the truth and to either decide that we need a Savior, that I need a Savior, or that I don't. But I've heard today. So I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work in every heart that is here today, and that we would just get the importance of what we've just heard, that we need to be ready. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that sound. Oh, it's okay. He wants to be ready. Not for his diaper to be changed either, but... At any rate, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're able to, let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. It should be up on the monitor, hopefully. There it is. Notice it says, I and not we. I is personal. Do you really believe this? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. And may the Lord just touch your heart and touch your life. Because we don't know when he's going to come again, but we can be thankful that we know that we're ready. In his name we pray. Amen.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King, the King. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing. Funky now. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the praise of God. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Sing Hosanna one more time. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in the lamp, I pray. Give me oil.